Good morning, and welcome to another sermon on the Father's love. Before we get started, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love, Lord, and I pray that you would just be with us this morning and speak to us through your word, Lord, and just help us to learn something from this, to know something more about your love through this passage and through this scripture, Lord. Just speak to our hearts and our minds. Bless us this morning in your precious name. Amen. So today I want to continue in the book of Ezra. Ezra is concerned with one main topic, and that's the rebuilding of the house of God, which is also the emphasis of Haggai and, in a different way, of Zechariah. But first things first, let's read Ezra chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, the people assembled as one man in Jerusalem. Then Jeshua, son of Jozadak, and his fellow priests, and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and his associates began to build the altar of the God of Israel to sacrifice burnt offerings on it, in accordance with what was written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Despite their fear of the peoples around them, they built the altar on its foundation and sacrificed burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and evening sacrifices. Then, in accordance with what is written, they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles with the required number of burnt offerings prescribed for each day. After that, they presented the regular burnt offerings, the new moon sacrifices, and the sacrifices for all the appointed sacred feasts of the Lord, as well as those brought as freewill offerings to the Lord. On the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, though the foundation of the Lord's temple had not yet been laid. So, first things first. That's a common phrase, isn't it? First things first. It reminds us that we need to do things in a proper order. It usually means preparation, meaning we have to prepare for things before we do them. Like going on holiday, for example. There's a lot of preparation and planning work to do before the actual holiday begins. First things first, we do all the prep work, and then hopefully we can then enjoy our holiday when it comes. And there's a spiritual application to first things first as well, and we find this concept played out in Ezra here, in Ezra 3. You know, the first things first. Verses 1 to 6. Zerubbabel had led a group of exiles back to Judah after Cyrus had let them go. When they got there, they probably looked at the rubble and ruin and were probably heartbroken when they got there. Their homes were destroyed and their temple was desecrated and demolished. Now, despite the condition that they found Jerusalem in, their hearts may have been broken, but their spirits weren't. They had gone there under Cyrus's instruction to rebuild the temple, but they got there and realised that the temple itself was not the starting point. First things first. Before they started work on the foundation of the temple, before they started to put up the walls of the temple, before they started to rebuild the city walls, what did they do? Verse 2. Then Jeshua, son of Jozadak, and his fellow priests, and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and his associates, began to build the altar of the God of Israel to sacrifice burnt offerings on it, in accordance with what is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. What did they do? They rebuilt the altar. They offered sacrifices. They worshipped the Lord their God. They recognized that as God's people, the first thing is always to worship God. You know, their aim was to reclaim the land for God, but and they wanted to do that by rebuilding Jerusalem. But they started with the altar, and then the temple. And then, in Nehemiah, they rebuilt the city walls. And in this passage, they rebuilt the altar on its original foundations. And the reason for that is because they wanted to worship God. And also that it wasn't restricted by the building. They had spent 70 years away from their land, but they had still worshipped God without confining it to just one place. They brought God out into the open, showing the locals their faith, despite fearing them. You know? So, that's what they did. They rebuilt the altar and they worshipped God. Clearly, when you look at that, they had learned a lesson during their exile. You know, previously, They had got into trouble in their relationship with God because they rejected God in favour of worshipping the false gods of their neighbours, like Baal. Despite God leading them out of Egypt, they worshipped Asherah. Despite God providing for their food and water in the wilderness, they followed the gods of fertility and prosperity. They had abandoned the God who was with them as the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. They had abandoned the God who had led them and guided them through the wilderness. They had abandoned the God who had loved them and cared for them. Now, maybe a few of them didn't actually worship the other gods, but they were more interested in pursuing pleasure and financial prosperity. And that in itself is a form of idol worship. There was no room for God in their lives. They were steeped in idol worship. But this time, when they're returning to Judah here, after all the warnings of the prophets, after the judgment of God, after the people were finally restored to their city, allowed to return, their hearts turned to worship the one true God, instead of returning to the gods made of stone and wood and bronze. They worshipped the Almighty God. 70 years of judgment, 70 years of exile, 70 years of spiritual defeat, 70 years of pruning. God did not forget his promise. We said that last week. He brought them back just as he promised. He restored the people to their promised land. And this time, the people did the right thing. They said, first things first. And they rebuilt the altar and worshipped God. And we see in verse 3, they rebuilt the altar despite their fear of the peoples around them. That's what it says, verse 3. Despite their fear of the peoples around them, they built the altar on its foundation and sacrificed burnt offerings on it to the Lord. They were afraid of the people around them. But in spite of that fear, they didn't let that affect their worship. Now, later in the book of Ezra, we find that their fears were somewhat legitimate. They had enemies coming against them, many enemies. They had different enemies who didn't want to see God's people rebuilding the temple. Enemies who were possibly afraid of the Jews becoming strong and powerful again. Anyhow, God's people didn't let their fears get the better of them. They worshipped anyway. Now, that there is one of the first lessons that I want to look at there just now. And that's a powerful lesson. There's a lot in this world today, a lot happening in this world today that could cause us to fear and then therefore affect our worship of God. Whether it's this pandemic which affects the world, or whether it's something smaller or more personal. We can't, at the moment through the pandemic, we can't meet together. So I'm sure for some that worship has maybe fallen by the wayside if they haven't managed to join any online worship. You know, we may be afraid of what people around us, neighbours think. And not only the persecution we face these days as Christians, but also sometimes fear of what other people think of us. But not just people that are outside the church, but people inside the church as well. Because there are insecurities within us, we can be so afraid of what other people think. Fear of something as simple as raising our hands in church or dancing during the sung worship time, or fear of praying out loud because we might mess up our words. But beyond that, even fear of sharing our faith in case we get a difficult question that we can't answer or we fumble our words during that time as well. These are all fears that we face. But when we look at this passage in Ezra, we see that the fear of the other peoples did not stop them. They worshipped anyway. And if we are going to church worrying about what other people think, then our focus is taken from God. If we are going to church worrying about anything, our focus is taken away from God. Because what is the purpose of church? To worship God. That is the soul, that is this, the not the soul, the main purpose of church, the first and foremost, first things first, if you like, going to church together is worshipping God. Church, church as in the services and meetings is about coming together as a community of believers to worship and praise our Lord and Heavenly Father, God. Because he loves us, remember, we're talking about the Father's love. He loves us, and that's why in this great example of God's, like we said last week, this great example of God coming good on his promise was letting them return to Judah. And what did they do? The first thing was to worship him. Just because that's what they realise is what they're meant to do as a body of believers. And building that altar, signified that the people acknowledged their need for God. They repented and sacrificed and worshipped. You know, which is a good place to start. And that's why that is the first and foremost, the main purpose of gathering together to in church, is to worship. You know, because beyond that, they then built the temple to show that, you know, to show people around that God is their focus. And then beyond that, the walls were built for strength and protection. You know, that's what we need to do in our lives. We need to repent and give up our lives to Christ, to worship first and foremost. And then our bodies, you know, because remember, our bodies are the temple. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Our bodies are the temples. So this chapter that we're looking at is concerned with this book is concerned with the rebuilding of the temple. But it starts here with worship, which rebuilds our temples. You know, in this day and age, our bodies are temples. You know, now that we live in light of the entirety of the Bible, the whole of Scripture, you know, our bodies are a temple. It is our bodies that God dwells in. You know, the Holy Spirit dwells in. Our bodies are the temple. And it's us as a body of believers that are the church, not the building. You know? Going back to the people. You know, like I said, despite their fears. And we were talking about the lesson of what that teaches us today. You know, we may be, like I said, we might be afraid of what people think. And like I said, not just in the church. Not just out there, but also within the church. But remember, these people worshipped anyway, because that was the purpose. Everything else is secondary to that. God loves us, and the purpose of church is to lift God up, to worship and show Him our love. It's about giving Him the glory. And secondary to that, you know, secondary to that is the other main purpose of church, although secondary to the worship, is to edify and encourage one another, to disciple one another, to love one another, to lift each other up and to deepen our faith and understanding, you know, to equip us for living out a Christian life and showing God's love in the everyday. You see, we talk about the church doing mission. Now, church mission shouldn't be something the church does. Mission, like everything else beyond worshipping God and edifying and building up each other, is a byproduct of that. Mission isn't something the church does. Mission is something that flows from what church is. You know? Everything else is a byproduct. The building, and even the building doesn't matter. That's what this tells. That's another thing we can take from this passage. They built the altar. They didn't build the temple first. They built the altar so that they could come together as a people and worship God. You know, during lockdown, we haven't been able to use the library. We've moved out of the library. And when lockdown wasn't happening, when we were allowed to, we did drive-in church. And that meant that people could come together and worship God together, albeit in their cars so that they're separate from each other, but they still were able to come together to worship. We were able to come together as a body of believers and worship without a building. And that's significant because, you know, we've always said it doesn't matter if we worship in a car park or in the library or a church building. As long as we come together to worship God as the body, we are the church. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 12 to 31, that's all about us being the body of Christ, that we are one body with many parts. But we, you know, in order for that to work, we need to have unity together. And in order to do that, we need to come together and worship God together and not think about anything else other than worshiping God. Because that's when the fears come in. And actually, that's when our judgment comes in as well. You know, and we're not there to judge other people. We're there to worship God. You know, in order to break those fears that we spoke about earlier, we need to get back to that worship aspect. You know, even the edification and discipleship between us, none of that really works unless we are truly worshiping God. And that, you know, and we can't think about the rebuilding of the temple. You know, when we look at this, but you know, in light of this first chapter, we can't think about the rebuilding of the temple only in terms of the bricks and the mortar, the physical building. Like we said, it doesn't matter about the building. The concern is for the abiding presence of God among His people, who are honouring Him by lives as well as their lips. You know, because before we've talked about sung worship, but it's not just about sung worship. That's, you know, we come together as a church to worship God, and sung worship is a part of that, singing songs of worship to God. You know, but that's not what it's all about. You know, there's that concept, you know, there's that idea of what worship is, and that worship is, you know, worship is often thought of in church as a term for the music and the sung worship, you know? And you end up with people saying things like, oh yeah, I enjoyed church, but the worship really wasn't for me this morning. Or, you know, that church is really good for worship. You know, the worship was great this morning. That is not what it's about. You know, because worship isn't about us at all. It's about God. You know, we can't go to church thinking, oh, I'm not looking forward to the worship today, or I don't feel like worshipping. Otherwise, don't bother going. You know, you come to church to lift up God, not to lift up ourselves. We don't go there with the primary purpose of lifting up ourselves. But I'll tell you what, if we worship God, no matter how we're feeling, we will feel God lifting us up. You know? That's it. The primary thing is to worship God. And that's what these people did. That's why this is a great passage, because that's the first thing they did, was to worship God without building the temple. You know? And you look at the New Testament, and the New Testament sees building the temple in terms of living stones growing into a spiritual temple. That's us. Like I said, we've looked at Corinthians there, or I've mentioned Corinthians there, about the body of Christ being the church, you know. But Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 21, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. You know, but it's about us. You know, Peter says in 1 Peter verse 2, chapter 2, verse 5, it says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. The essential point in both testaments is the presence of God linked in covenant love with his people. He is the loving Father, and it's about him and showing his love for his people. You know, and it's all in anticipation of that day in Revelation 21:3. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. It's important, you know, it's important for us to realize that when the Bible speaks of the Lord's house, it means the place to which he has come to be with us. And that's wherever we are together. And that's why the people here focused on God. So remember, you know, coming, the primary purpose of church is to worship God. You know, the primary purpose of our meeting together on Sunday mornings or any other meetings is to worship God. Out of that comes our ability to disciple and edify each other and lift each other up and help each other understand more and more about God. And then beyond that, because only with a church that works well together like that, who works as a family of love and commitment to each other, and, you know, mainly to, you know, to God and each other, can then the whole idea of mission come out of that. You know, and not all mission is just let's do this to reach people. It's about living the everyday. You know, it's about us. We worship God, and we God fills us with the Holy Spirit, and we dedicate our lives to God and worshiping him, because that, you know, our whole lives should be worship, and through our whole lives being worship, and not being afraid of what people think, that is what living our lives in the everyday is an example to people, to other people. You know, that is what it's living our lives for God daily that shows the attraction of God to other people. So when we're thinking about church, we need to think about church as being the place we go to worship God. That we come together as a body to worship God. But the worship doesn't stop when we leave. The worship continues in our day-to-day lives. Individually, and everything that we do should be an act of worship. Now, the other thing that I want to look at now is if you turn to in chapter 3 to verse 10. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving they sang to the Lord, he is good, his love to Israel endures forever. So we're still worshipping here. You know, it's still about worship. But then we carry on. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Now, I read that and I think, yes, okay, they built the foundation, but they've also built the spiritual foundation by worshipping God first and foremost. And then we get to verse 12. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise, and the sound was heard far away. Now, here we have a bit, you know, looking at verse 12, but many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud. They were remembering the old days. You know, and we sometimes the church suffers from that. People remembering the days gone by, the past. You know, a few weeks ago I talked about change and how change is hard, but, you know, it's about moving forward. You know, we can't be moving backwards, you know. You know, we can't return to the way that things were. When the Jews came back, you know, they came back to where they had begun, but they built on top of that because the old was a foundation. It wasn't to look back and do things. You know, yes, they started the practices that they knew that they had to do, but they were moving forward because they worshipped God, and then they knew that this was a new time. They were coming out of what was old when they were disobedient, and they were coming back to God, but into a new thing. You know. They chose to move forward and look at what God was doing now. And it's easy to get stuck in the past. You know, especially when it seems like things are good, and especially when things are difficult now. It's easy to look back and think, oh, goodness. But, you know, as it says in this passage, not everybody was excited. You know? I'll read verse 12 again. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid. You know? It seems strange at first, but, you know, with all the progress made in rebuilding Jerusalem, you know, you would think that everyone would be jumping for joy, but evidently there was a group of people who were unhappy. You see, they remembered the temple like it was, the temple that Solomon built. It was extravagant. It was covered in gold. It was an incredible piece of architecture. And they just didn't have the resources to rebuild the temple in that way. And so they looked on the temple, built with wood. They knew there would be no ornamental gold, no intricately laid out designs and precious metals. And so they began to weep. They began to cry. They began to moan. Why can't the church be like it used to be? Why can't we go back to the good old days? And that's a danger, isn't it? To look back and think those days were better. Why does it have to be, you know, they think, why does it have to be different? You know, and that does happen in churches today. People that are concerned with going back to what they call the glory days. You know, they're concerned with what the church used to be. They're not, you know, they're, and sometimes that hinders, that's another thing that can hinder their worship and hinder their praying, you know, because they're wanting to go back to what was before, you know. And we can, that's the thing, in order to live the right life under God is to follow what he is saying. And you know, if we're going backwards, we're not going forwards. And God is always moving us forwards. You know, in the case of Israel, it was 70 years ago. You know, and to be honest, you know, we've talked about this before, about, you know, I've been in churches where people just longed for the days gone by instead of moving forward in God. And that's the thing, if we're always looking back, then you know, that hinders us moving forward with God. You know, and I've been there as well. I've looked back and thinking, you know, I'm thinking, oh, that was great back then. Why can't it be like that? But the thing is, that's why we need to worship God and focus on him now, so that we can know, jump, get in with the will of God, so that he can take us forward. You know, it says that they wept aloud, but and that stopped them. You know, it stopped them from moving forward. But that's the thing, we can't be distracted by the past or by what people think. We can't become distracted and allow, you know, the wailing and the moaning and the crying to stop us moving forward. You know, we can't let other people's judgments stop us from worshipping. You know, we can't allow negative attitudes to stop us from lifting our eyes to Jesus and praising God. We need to lift up our shouts of joy at what he will do next and what he is going to do. You know, if we praise the God without becoming distracted, you know, that's when things are going to happen. You know, the children of Israel didn't rebuild the entire city in a day. They put things into the proper perspective. They built the altar first and worshipped. You know, they began to work on the temple. But they made sure that they praised God all the way through as well. And they knew that although they were building on the old foundations, they were doing something new. You know, when people are committed and fired up for doing what God wants to do next, things happen. That, you know, the Spirit moves and the church grows. And that, you know, in this chapter, it's about putting worship first and moving forward. You know, to recap, you know, like we said, worship should be our way of life. You know, and it shouldn't be confined to Sunday or to a building. Worship should be our daily lives. We worship God wherever we are, corporately and separately. You know, we take the place of worship with us as we worship God and we live our lives following God's will. Through sacrifice and worship, we are God's temple. Being in Christ offers protection and strength. You know, and we can't be a temple of God if we don't allow his Spirit to access our life. You know, we need to let the Holy Spirit in to guide us forward, not backwards. The Jews came back to where they began and they built foundations on what was old. But they didn't go backwards. They came back to what they know, but what they knew was God. And he wanted to move them forward and they had to focus on that, not on what was past. And now we live in a world where we have the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which has given us eternal life. And we have a God that wants to move us forward, not backwards. We can't return to the way things were. We can only move forward. You know, we can't mimic what was. We need to choose to move forward and look for what God is doing now. It's easy to get stuck in the past. And if you're going through a difficult time, because you look at what was and you want it back. But Jesus is doing a good work in us. You know, God, like it says in Romans, you know, God works, only works, you know, he works for the good of those who love him. And that's it. He loves us and he wants to move us forward. You know, and to move forward, yes, here, like it in Ezra, they built the new temple on solid foundations. You know, but it was a new thing. And that's what God, we can look at the past as foundation and we move forward from that. And sometimes that means big changes, you know. It might mean, you know, if worship can be anywhere, as long as the body comes together to worship, if it can be anywhere, then it doesn't matter where we've been. We move forward. So worship should be our way of life and not be confined to a building or Sunday. We take the place of worship with us wherever we go. Yes, we come together to worship together as a body of Christ, because that's the purpose of coming together as a community. But we take the worship with us wherever we go, the place of worship, because our place of worship is wherever we are. And that's how we'll show people the glory of God, is by doing everything in our lives as an act of worship. You know, the church doesn't have to do a particular mission. We just need to live our lives for God in the everyday so that people see something of God in our lives. Through worship, we are God's temple. You know, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And we need to let the Holy Spirit dwell in us and let the Holy Spirit work through us. Jesus is the foundation that we build upon. You know, we don't need to look to the past experiences to catch back what we once had. We need to look to Jesus and move forward. And we need to move forward worshipping God in everything that we do. Yes, we can come together and have great sung worship, you know, but we need to go with an attitude of worshipping God, that it's not about us, it's about him. Because only when we focus on God do we then know how to move forward. And God loves us. He only wants to do the best for us. He loves us with that. Never stopping, never giving up, always and forever love. So let's come together and worship him. And then worship him in everything that we do in our daily lives. You know? Let's move forward. Worship God to give our lives, surrender our lives completely to God so that we can get into His, you know, we can align with His will so that we know where God is moving us forward, or we can take the steps that He asks us to move forward. Because He loves us. He loves us so much. And we owe Him nothing less than our love back. And to worship Him, because He is the God who deserves the glory. The loving Father. Let's pray. Lord God, again, thank You for Your word and for what You teach us through Your word, Lord. And thank You, that you love us so much, Lord. And we just want to get our hearts and our minds set on worshipping You in everything that we do. When we come together as a church, first and foremost, we worship You and we build each other up through that. And the outflowing of that is our living our lives for You in the day-to-day. And that's what shows people Your love, Lord. Help us to not miss any of the opportunities to show Your love in our communities, Lord. But help us never to move away from the fact that it's about worshipping You as our loving Father. And thank You so much for everything that You do for us. And thank You that you are always there, and You are there to protect us and to strengthen us. And that even when we feel weak or that we don't feel up to it, that doesn't matter. We come to worship You and You will bless us through that. And then we can be a blessing to others as well. Thank You for Jesus, and thank You for His death and His resurrection. And thank You that through that we can bless others with Your love. And Lord, just again, just help us to, for everything that we do, to be in worship to You. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Well, thanks for listening. I hope you'll join me next week for another sermon on the Father's love. Have a good week. God bless.